first.
It's going. Okay.
Okay. So this is a shield for alumni, alumna, and Shana Bet in Tomer Devora. We are in Shvat. Hello, how are you, Reba? And this shield is dedicated to the memory of Abba ben Mordechai Yehuda and Harav Yosef ben Menachem Mendel. And as I was just mentioning my little anecdote about dropping off my daughter with her new baby in her home to be a mother for the first time on her own, the topic of the shiur is called Moving into Adult Life. When am I finally going to feel like a grown-up? Okay? And it comes really from my personal experience recently, because I have three married daughters who are youngish, they're all in their 20s, and they're living, you know, seemingly very grown-up lives, but somehow there are certain things that are very hard psychologically to transition into, to feel like you've made it as an adult. And I find that happening to me all the time. Never happens to my husband, and I think I understand culturally why. So I'm gonna say something about your generation, but it really isn't your generation, it's really my generation, and then forward. The only difference between your growing up and mine is probably internet and social media. But really, I'm a child of the 60s, and after two world wars, in America, they really wanted to have like a really good life for families and for kids, you know? So they did a lot of things to make life very safe and stable and protected, and they extended adolescence, like, you know, by having college, you know, until age 22. And even when I was growing up, like, if you were under your parents' health insurance, the cutoff was 18. Once you were 18, you weren't under your parents' health insurance because you were considered after 18 not to be dependent on your parents. Now it's like, then it went to automatically 21. Now they even have plans that go to 24. You know what I mean? Like, where because of economics and societal things, children become teenagers and then they kind of remain teenagers for a very long time. It's very hard to imagine at age 18 to suddenly be completely on your own, financially independent, emotionally independent, everything. So because we are observant Jews and we are generally much more like aware of our responsibilities and everything, and we're generally people who, you know, take life very seriously, it's not as much of an issue of like kind of living your young adult life in a childish, immature, irresponsible way. That's not the thing. I'm talking more of like our image of ourselves. I'll give you an example. When the first time in Ramat Bechem today, you knew someone and someone had passed away in their family, like their parent or something, I had to go pay a shiva call. Now, I didn't grow up from, and for some reason, the years that I lived in America, I really didn't, it never came to my attention that anyone I knew lost someone, so I never paid a shiva call, except for like in my immediate family. My immediate family is not religious, so shivas look totally different, okay? And when a friend of mine said, oh, I'm going to pay the shiva call by so-and-so, do you want to come with me? The first image was like, but like, I don't pay shiva calls. Like, my grandmother pays shiva calls. You know, like, all of a sudden, I was like, the person who pays shiva calls, I don't see myself as that kind of a person, because that's like what grown-ups do. And I mean, I was like in my 30s already, like I should have felt like, you know. And something there was like, I don't know, some kind of a psychological block. Same thing, like I always remember my mom, like, you know, the week before Yamim Tovim or before the new year, you know, she'd be on the phone calling like all the different relatives and everything, you know, to catch up and say have a good year and everything. And I remember one time my husband saying, oh, you know, maybe we should call my aunt, you know, before, and I said, why? Like, what? He's like, because that's what you do. That's what you do before. And I was thinking to myself, oh, that's what my mother does, you know? And he's like, you are a mother. Mothers do those things. So it's, you know. And, you know, I said to myself, wow, like, we really grew up, like, in a way, like, very, very sheltered. And again, when life was very tough and kids 18, 19, 20, they would go out to work to help their families. Like, they would give their salaries to their parents. You know, we're living in a totally different reality where our parents are supporting us, and, you know, you can get loans and credit cards and everything. So, I guess I want to say that when you go through school, everything has, we talked about this last night in class, Milka brought this up, that life is very predictable. The first 18 years are rather predictable, because first grade turns into second grade, and then third grade, and then, you know, you have to get into high school. Okay, so that was tough and then gutting. And then you get into seminary, so you went through a process and you got into seminary. And then after seminary, you're like, okay, now what? All right, you know, you can still, as a student, if you, you know, go to college or whatever, you can still feel like you're somewhat in the mode. But at a certain point, even that comes to an end. And then you finally find yourself in a situation where you have, before, where your life was very structured because you were a student, or you were a student and you were a child living in your parents' home or something like that, you suddenly find yourself in the position of being able to make a lot of personal decisions that before you never, like with your time, with your opportunities and with your responsibilities and with your money, that before you didn't really have that, you know? And that is like, that's the thing that makes you grow up. So for example, before, you know, if you were working and you were paying for certain things, now all of a sudden, let's say you have a great paying job and you have your bills to pay and everything and you have extra money. Now it's up to you what to do. Like, what kind of a person are you? A saver? Do you feel, before you have to ask your mother, can I buy another skirt? And now all of a sudden you have your own money. You live on your own, or you live with a husband, or you live, whatever. And now all of a sudden everything is within the realm of your choice, you know? Some people who are like students, like for many, many years, suddenly they get a job, they go to work, they come back, you know, even if they commute and you come back at 7 p.m., it used to be that your evenings were spoken for. You know, you had studying to do, and all of a sudden you have like time, you have blocks of time that you never had that before. And it sometimes it hits you like, okay, so, you know, how do you make the best use of that? And come to terms with the fact that now you're like in a new stage of life, because it is very true that people who are not prepared for this sometimes don't make the right choices. In other words, like the same patterns of your life that you had up until then, you just continue them in your adult life. And then what happens is you miss a lot of opportunities. So just to make it very not theoretical. So for example, let's say when you were growing up and you had babysitting money or you had allowance, your rent was paid, your medical insurance was paid, your tuition was paid. All that money that you had is, what's the economic term for that? It's your discretionary income. Discretionary income, it's like all the money you have, you know, your parents tell you, look, you know, like give my sir, and maybe you have to pay for this, but it's your money, you know, use it. So, you know, you think to yourself, okay, like I want to buy a new phone, I want to buy some clothes, you know, I want to get my hair, I don't know, highlighted. Like you have all your things that you like to do. Then you get older and you have like real responsibilities, you have a budget, but you still, let's say, have a little money left over. And you're, you know, if you're still in the old mindset, like, you know, maybe I need more clothes, maybe I need more tchotchkes, maybe I need new things, you have to start, like, broadening a little bit, like, how you think in terms of, like, your future and everything. This is not a class about financial planning, but I'm just saying, like, you as you branch out into your new life and you look around you, of course, it's time for leisure and entertainment and things like that, but you just start to think differently. The point that I really, really want to bring out here, because this is what I think about all the time in terms of like me raising myself and me helping raise my married daughters, which is still, you know, it's a job. You know, I have kids at home and I raise them and I try to give them chinuch, and I can't give them chinuch, I can just give advice if I'm asked. But one of the things that we always talk about, like in Yanei Nashim, is that women are connectors. We are, Rabbi Tamansky calls us, we are relationship beings. Women are relationship beings. We connect. We're very into, you know, people and what they think and what they say and just connecting with them. And it's an amazing opportunity because, again, when you are young and you're dependent on your parents, you kind of live your life and you have your friends, And maybe you have people within your family or extended family that you're close to. Maybe you have like an aunt that you really love, you have some cousins that you really love. But you're in the role of like a child in the house. There's not much expected of you in terms of being proactive in your relationships. But when you suddenly become more independent and you move into this role that we call being an adult, I think that it's very important as a woman, depending on where you are in life, first to figure out with your time what your as a Jew, you have to know what your halakhic obligations are. So for example, if you're not married, you still have mitzvot of kibbutz la'aretz. So like, you know, your parents, they raised you, they put a lot into you. And we know that even if you can love your parents, you can spend a lot of time with them, you cannot be so close to your parents. Some people don't have great chemistry with their parents. Some people have problematic parents. Some people, it's not so good when they're with their parents. But you have to have someone, some kind of chacham, define what your obligations to your parents are. In terms of like literally, like really calling them, whatever that minimum is. There are some people that are so close to their mothers or their whatever, they'll call her every day. There are some sons who are very dutiful while they're in yeshiva or even when they're married, you know, every El Shabbat will call their mother or their father and have a 15-minute schmooze and have, you know, and it's like, that is kadosh, like that is something very, very important. You have to know what you're obligated to do vis-a-vis your parents. If you're married, obviously, you have certain obligations of time to your husband. You have obligations towards your children. And then when you're in that stage of life where you are young and married and you might have a lot of children, if there's not even anything to decide, you are actually overwhelmed. You don't have extra time. Like your time is very, very tight because while you're you know, fulfilling all your halakhic obligations to your parents and to your husband and to your children, you may have very little time left. But even within that time, I've got a few things that it's really more like a personal opinion. That like when Hashem puts you in the world and He puts people around you, they're not there randomly. They're not there just because. Every person you see every day, every person that is your neighbor, every person that somehow, you know, when you walk to the bus stop, she just happens to take the same bus every day as you, whatever. Those people were put into your life for a reason. Whatever that reason is, you know, maybe you'll discover it, maybe not. But it's very easy to hide behind this feeling. Not a shy personality, but rather like, look, I'm a young chick. Here's like a woman, she's clearly a little bit older than me, or my neighbor, or whatever. I'm like, who am I? Really? It's a certain like anava, it's a certain humbleness, but it's a certain like who am I really like to reach out? You know, she's older than me, or I don't know this person, or whatever. And I think as a woman, as a Jewish woman, when you become an adult, you have to banish that way of thinking completely. Because I have seen so many times in like the last 20 years how much a sincere act of just reaching out in some way does so much. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this story. I've heard many rabbis tell this famous story that in a yeshiva, every Erev Shabbat, the boys would line up to shake the Rosh Hashiva's hand and say Good Shabbos. And Rosh Hashiva would, you know, give him bracha and say Good Shabbos. And there was a guy, and he was online, a young bachur, whatever, and all of a sudden he felt something on his shoulder. He turns around, and the guy standing behind him on the line was just, like, doing something. He was just moving something or fixing his collar. His collar was, like, bent up or something, and he just fixed his collar, and he patted it down. And the guy, you know, it's unusual, you know, and the boy turned around, and the guy just gave him a smile and patted his shoulder, and that was it. And then a few years, maybe like a year later, the boy was, you know, doing very well in yeshiva, and he found that guy again. He went over to me and he said, I just want you to know, you don't know what you did. You don't know what you did. And he said, I really don't know what I did. Like, who are you? Like, you look familiar to me. Yeah, you're like in yeshiva. We're not the same habura. We're not, you know. And he said, about a year ago, I was standing online to say good Shabbos to the Rosh Hashiva. And I was about to leave. Like on Sunday morning, I was leaving yeshiva. I was not happy here. I didn't connect to the learning. I didn't connect to the other bachurim. I was just depressed. I was so depressed. Like I felt so down. And all of a sudden, I felt your hand on my shoulder. And I saw that you cared enough. You saw like, you know, my Shabbos next to it wasn't exactly the same. You fixed it, you patted me, and you gave me a smile. And all of a sudden, I felt suddenly like everything's better, you know? Like, it's not so bad. And then when I shook in Rashida's hand, like, I felt happy, and Rashida smiled at me, and gave me, and it felt like a different smile than every week. But it probably wasn't, but it was just like my state of mind. And I said, you know what? I'm going to stay one more week. And he said, from there, it just got better and better and better. And when you, and again, like, it has happened to me that, you know, I'm walking down the street, doing something, you know, coming out of the supermarket, and I'm, you know, I'm thinking about the million things I have to do, and I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, like, that's it, I'm going to have to go down to the yeshiva again and talk to the Rebbe about my son, and I'm going to have to take care of this and this and this. And, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, really being very serious and responsible about life. And I look up, and then some woman just smiles at me, you know, gives me like a genuine smile, says, good morning, you know? And all of a sudden I feel like all the weight, you know, lift off of me, and I'm like, you know, what a great world this is, you know? And really, like, what did she do already, right? Did it cost her anything? No, you know what it is? It's an awareness. Again, when you're a child, you can kind of hide behind your inexperience, you can hide behind your maturity, you can kind of feel in a way like, I'm not a real player in the world. The grown-ups are the players, right? They're the ones who get stuff done, they're the ones that do those extra mitzvot and chesed and do all those, like, grown-up things, and I'm still very young. But you know what? There's a certain point where you have to say to yourself, and it's better sooner than later, no, I am a very major part of this world, and as a woman, I'm in a very unique position to do things that require very little investment of time, sometimes very little investment of energy, that can make a significant, significant difference in the lives of the people around me. Because Hashem didn't put them into my life, sad, like, for no reason. When it comes to your kids, again, everyone's running, we're all running around, we're crazy. When you take 5 minutes, I'm doing that 5 minutes on the clock, and you take one child, no matter how old they are, if they're 2, for a cuddle and a book. If they're 5, for a conversation where you just listen to them ramble on and on, saying something that's obviously very important to them, but it, like, doesn't really connect, you know, and you're just like, you know. Listening to your 13-year-old brother, like, tell you, like, just how amazing this team is doing, and then proceed to tell you all their stats, and, you know, your eyes are glazing over, but you're just like, yeah, and you learn how to ask it. You have to learn how to ask the right, the intelligent questions for every sport, because this is very hard to fake, because then you might show that you're completely not knowledgeable, but I'm trying to remember his name. It will come back to me. Okay, it will come back to me. In any case, again, calling your grandparents, if you have an older aunt, if you have a cousin, I'm saying anyone in your life that you have a connection to, there's sometimes little things you can do from time to time that don't take a lot out of you, except getting out of your apathy and your inertia of just like, you know, I don't make that phone call, you know, and doing it. Now, here's where, and, you know, I was just talking to Sim about this, a lot of things about social media are very problematic. But you know what? There are redeeming qualities too, just like anything. Any tool can be used for good or for bad. In a certain way, especially in this day and age where so many people have such a, you know, they've done studies that people get, like, huge endorphin lifts, like, from just getting, like, comments and likes and you know, messages and stuff. So if you happen to have WhatsApp, or if you happen to be on some kind of social media, and you have people in your life that you know need that kind of boost, and that's what you're involved in, if you do that, those things are, like, important. They're an important thing to do, to remember people's birthdays and send them a special message. If there's a friend you haven't spoken to in a long time, you know, again, sometimes phone calls are awkward. So you can send a message, you know, I just want you to know, I remember this time 3 years ago, remember when we went on this trip together, and all of a sudden I was looking at pictures and I was remembering, I was thinking about you, how's everything, you know, if you have any time, give me a call. But this is not something that happens automatically. If you do not work on this in yourself, just kind of like coming out of your own self-absorbed sounds negative, but it really is self-absorbed because we are very anxious people in this day and age, and we're very worried about everything going on, so we're very absorbed in what's going on ourselves. And again, as adults and as Jewish women, I think one of the biggest signs of maturity is to develop an awareness of what's going on around us, the people who are important to us, what their needs are. You know, like, how many times have people been helped because somebody noticed? Like, look at that person, you know, they seem unusually sad. Like, when I see that neighbor, they usually don't look like that, but they're looking like that. So something's here, so, oh, it's none of my business, you know, what am I going to do? Like, I'm such a yenta? There's nothing wrong with saying to somebody, you know what, like, I just want you to know, like, I care about you, I see you very often, I notice that lately you seem a little down. Now, if they're not, then all of a sudden, they're like, wow, you know, I really should... If I look seem down, maybe I should, like, you know, lighten up a little bit. Maybe they'll say, well, you know, there's a lot going on. And even if they don't want to share with you, because you're not that close, like someone losing your building or whatever, just the fact that you notice people want to be, you know, people who are not attention seekers, everyone wants to matter. Right? Like, you want to make a difference. Like, you want it to be that the fact that you exist matters to people. When someone notices something, it's about you, whether it's, like, good or off, it really does send a sign. It makes them feel really, really good. So, I'm just saying, again, coming out of that child mode and even adolescent teenage mode and just making yourself more, like, aware, becoming a good listener. And another thing I wanted to I'm going to close because there isn't a lot more to say about this. In order to do this properly, obviously with people who are, you know, a lot of relationships today are superficial. But there are people like surrounding your life that your relationships are more superficial. So there, that's where just like a kind word, a smile, that's good. The people that are like a little closer in your circle, like a roommate, like a sibling, maybe a cousin, you know, close in age to you that you grew up with, or someone that really like constitutes a person close to you, in order to really be there for them and come out of yourself and be there for them in the right way, you really have to know them. You have to understand them. And the only way to do that is to really spend time talking with them, not about superficial things. Now, it's very funny because, again, because I'm dealing all the time with these like young adult daughters of mine who are raising a young generation. One day, my oldest daughter, Yael, her oldest is 8, so it's already getting into the age of like smart kids, right? So she said to me, Ima, this, I printed out this list, it's an amazing list. It's like topics of conversation to have with your children. Like, let's say at the dinner table. You know, like I remember Rabbi Lam, you know, says that every week at a Shabbos table, he makes everyone go around, all his guests and his children and his wife and himself, and say one thing that happened to you this week that you're really proud of, you know? And everyone says, and everyone at the table has to clap. Yeah, they clap and they sing. And, you know, like, people get really, really excited and animated. That's a nice thing to ask, right? So she was like saying, it's like the same kind of thing. Instead of sitting at the table, have school, fun. What'd you do today? Nothing. You know, like, so it was like ideas with young children, like, you know, how do they say, like open questions? Not the kind of question that they can go, yeah, no, six, you know, whatever. So, and these pages were like age appropriate. You know, it was like, you know, from age like 7 to 10, age 11 to 15, you know, whatever. And then I realized, you know, when I looked at these questions, and there were a lot of questions about like what's going on in the minds of the people that you know, I looked at those questions and I said, oh my gosh, I do not know like 80% of the answers to these questions about even my husband or my kids. Like, I never thought to even ask questions like this. Like, you know, if you, you know, suddenly had $1,000 that you could spend in the next 2 hours, what would you buy? How would you spend it? You know, and again, it's not something you can answer right away. People have to think, they have to discuss, they have to, you know, and again, it would be really bizarre if suddenly in your life you walked around with like a little list of questions and started asking these very deep, penetrating questions out of the blue to people. That's, you know, you have to be authentic. You have to, but if you start thinking in this way, that in order to be there for someone in a way that they need, you have to understand where their head is. So, for example, if you want to, let's say you have a friend that's around your age, and you know she's going through a hard time, she's maybe a little bit lonely, maybe she's living far away from her family or whatever, and you want to kind of spend time with her and you're trying to think how to do it, that's going to look very different from you deciding to spend an afternoon, let's say, with your grandmother, who's a widow, you know, who spends your friend may be going through a hard time, but she has a very active life. You know that she's in school and she has a part-time job and she's out there with people. So the way you're going to do this thing is more like let's meet somewhere and have sichat nefesh, you know, let's talk. Whereas with your grandmother, it's more like, wow, this woman is isolated a lot of the day. She's alone a lot of the day. What can I bring into her life just to make her happy? You know what I mean? Like, maybe I can take her out to do shopping. Maybe I can bring a game and play with her. You know what I mean? But all of this requires you, first of all, to make this important to you, to give it some thought, like some real thought, and then to implement it. And I want to tell you that when you start thinking in this way, and you start doing things in this way, you start changing as a person, and you feel really good about yourself. And no matter what else is going on in your life, you know, we all have our stresses and our struggles with school and shidduchim, and then we get married in our marriages, and then when we have kids, you know, we pray to get married, we get married, so we have struggles in our marriage. We pray for kids, then our kids drive us crazy. Like, you always have something in your life that is a blessing, but it's also hard. It's hard. So sometimes when you go to sleep at night, you're like, oh my goodness, I know. Everything I did today was a mitzvah. Yeah, everything I did today was a chesed. But not everything has that, like, feel-good feeling, you know. But when you do this kind of thing where you look around your universe of people and you say to yourself, wow, Hashem put me in their life for a reason. And sometimes it's just for that smile to your neighbor every morning when you go down the elevator. Sometimes it's you see a mother in your building and you see she is struggling. She is struggling. And you offer to, you know, if you need to go out shopping and you want to just leave your baby with me for an hour so you can just go shopping, you know what I mean? For every person, what's matim for them? And not to forget that it always feels like so much more like posh. It's okay. So it feels posh to do it for like strangers, but it's really the people like much closer in, like our parents, our spouses, our children, our grandparents. These are the people that really need that attitude the most. And when you do that, I feel like that's when you start to feel like you grew up, you know? When you're like, it's not all about me. It's not me. It's like, Hashem put me in this world to serve Him. The best way to serve Hashem is to take care of His children. You know what I mean? And when you do these little acts of kindness, even big ones, you start to feel better about yourself. And you know what? You become like that. And then, again, you're not doing this for anyone to praise you. You're doing this really for yourself and for Amisad. But then, you know how people talk about, like, you know, I have that aunt. She's always there for people. She's always doing for people. She's the person everyone goes to talk to, everything. And, you put her up on this and be like, wow, how does someone become like that? You know how they become like that? By starting when you're young, doing things like that. And it's a totally enlightened life. And I will, and finally, Rebbe Sipora Heller wrote one time in Bina Magazine, someone wrote in a very simple question, and it's, I think that's what caused her to write, she wrote a book called The Balancing Act. How to balance your life. Someone wrote in, you know, rabbits and hello, with all the things we Jewish women have on our plates. We have big families. We work full time, most of us. We have the equivalent of Thanksgiving every week. You know, like, did you ever see, like, the Umat HaOlam talk about preparing for, like, Thanksgiving dinner or Xmas dinner? And it's, like, a big deal, and they're, like, planning for a month, and we're, like, yeah, we do this every single week. You know what I mean? And then we do it, like, big time, like, three times a year, you know? You know, so she was saying, like, and then, you know, and then people ask you to work on their chesed committees. And then they say, no, you need to build your marriage, because if you just go through your marriage in autopilot and raise your kids, then you'll have one of those marriages that you look at each other when you're 55 and go, oh, hi, who are you? Like, you know, we were business partners for the past 30 years, you know, but do we still like each other? You know, you have to invest in your marriage. You have to invest in, and then they tell you, of course, you have to spend individual time with every one of your children. Yeah, you have to spend individual time. Again, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one afternoon a month, you know, we have our grandparents, we have our parents to take care of. So she said, how do we know? And, oh, you have to also self-care, right? You have to exercise, you know? You need to take care of yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself, that's also not good. She said, how do you know what to do? What do you do first? What, like, how do you do this, you know? And she, that was the approach. She said, first you have to figure out your halakhic obligations, okay? She said, then, you have to think about, like, long term, like, what, you know, what do you need to maintain yourself in an ideal state so that you can fulfill all your obligations, and that would include some kind of self-care. And then she said, whenever an opportunity comes your way, this is the way you do the analysis. If I remember correctly how she said it, she said, there's always a time where you say to yourself, right now I'm literally too tired. And if I go to this wedding tonight just to say mazal tov and dance one dance, I will not be able to be like a good mother tomorrow morning for whatever reason. I have a newborn that's going to keep me up, but whatever. You always have, you know, you may have reliable, they're not even excuses, they are reasons why you should turn down this opportunity to do this mitzvah in order just to simply rest. Many people don't go to simchas anymore during the week because their children are in school all day and they come home, and especially their teenage children, if they go out every night to a simcha, when are they going to connect with these children that need their parents, right? You can have reasons, she said, but there are occasionally, all of a sudden, someone asks you to do something. They say, can you cook for this yoledet that just gave birth? Can you, you know, do this chesed? Can you come work on this Chinese auction? It requires 3 hours this week. You know, they ask you these questions, and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm juggling so many balls. Should I say yes? Should I say no? Should I take those extra guests or whatever? And she says, this is the smart way to think, is to say to yourself, keeping in mind my health and my well-being, what is going to earn me more olam haba right now? Again, keeping in mind your general well-being and the well-being of your family. Once you put that to bed and you said, no, that's not at stake right here. Should you do it? She said, what else would you be doing at that time? If they ask you, today between 6 and 8, we really are desperate for people to help us set up this buffet or this Chinese auction or whatever. If your answer is, I'm going to be putting my 7 children to bed, you certainly are exempt. You know what I mean? It's from 6 to 8, you cannot be setting up a Chinese auction. If you are 55 years old or 60 years old, and between 6 and 8, your husband's not home yet, you don't have anything pressing to do, and by doing that, you're involved in the community, and you're helping, and they're going to raise a lot of money, then say, and you have the co-op, say yes. Like, learn. Today we're taught automatically to say no, because I can't stretch myself too much, okay? And she says, no, when you get to the point where you have leshut, like, you could do something, it's okay, like, you're not going to endanger yourself in any way, then just do the shikul. There's 2 things I could be doing right now, you know, like, what's going to bring me more olam haba? Like, what choice do I make that, you know, spiritually is going to raise me a little bit? And the truth is, when I read that, I never, like, actually thought of that as an approach, and it helped me. Like, many times when I would be like, no, I don't usually, and then I'm thinking to myself, wow, someone is driving really far away to pay a very important trip call and they're offering me a ride. What would I be doing at that time if I don't go with them? And the answer on that particular night was not much. Cleaning up my kitchen. Okay. You know what? And I said, wait a minute. But, you know, that's a very, very good insight to do. Yes, I'm going to do it. And you never feel bad. When you make a decision like from that approach, you don't feel bad. So, I wish you all tremendous hatzlacha. I will see some of you next week. But I really do. And this, does this not apply to us who are out there married in the world and everything? Totally. I mean, I want you to know, I am talking to myself because I'm not like, I'm developing this. I'm a little late in the game to be developing this, but I still, the fact that I became aware that like this is what one must do, take themselves out of themselves and, you know, it's a very important thing. So I hope you win for the honor of your school. And hatzlacha and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you can press stop. I don't know how to do that. Oh.